All right, let's dive in. We're looking at education reform in Vermont today. You guys sent in a ton of stuff, news articles, opinions, even a reader survey.
Yeah, it's a hot topic for sure.
It seems like everyone's got an opinion on how to shake things up, so we're going to try to figure out, is this push for change really something new, or are we just seeing the same old song and dance?
It's a good question, especially since there are a lot of similarities to the governor's plan back in 2019. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I do. Streamlining administration, consolidating resources, all to make those education dollars go further.
Right, and the Chester Telegraph even did a side-by-side comparison. It's uncanny how much the current plan overlaps with that older one.
Kind of makes you wonder if we're headed to the same roadblocks, though, isn't it?
Well, 7 Days VT talked to some legislators, and they're definitely skeptical.
Oh, yeah. What are they saying?
Basically, they're not convinced that you can cut costs without also cutting into some essential school services.
I mean, that's a valid concern. But maybe to really understand what's going on here, we need to take a step back. Like, look at the bigger picture.
Exactly. History can give us a lot of context.
Right. I was reading that 7 Days article, and they actually trace Vermont's whole education reform saga back to the Civil War era.
Wow, so this debate has been going on for a while.
Seriously. It's crazy how some of these themes just keep coming back around. Consolidation, funding debates, the back and forth between state and local control.
Like a broken record, right? The Vermont Political Observer even predicts that this whole plan will fade into obscurity, just like so many others before it.
Well, that's a little cynical, don't you think?
Maybe, but it does make you wonder why these patterns keep repeating.
It's true, we can't ignore the past, but we also can't ignore what people are saying right now, right? All these stakeholders are weighing in, trying to steer the conversation.
Oh yeah, the 802 Ed newsletter was highlighting a bunch of different op-eds from folks who are really in the thick of things.
Did you get a chance to read through those?
I did. House Speaker Jill Krawinski's piece was interesting. She's really advocating for a collaborative approach.
Focusing on what's best for the students, I imagine.
Yeah, that's her main point. But then you have former Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman, who's basically warning about potential school closures.
Oh, wow. That's a bit more dire. Do you think that's a legitimate concern, or is he just fear-mongering?
It's hard to say for sure. He didn't point to any specific policies in the current plan, but he's definitely worried about the direction things are heading.
And then there's former Superintendent John Castle, right? He's not pulling any punches.
Nope, not at all. He's basically saying that this is a deliberate attempt to dismantle public education as we know it.
Talk about a strong statement. So we've got one person pushing for collaboration, another raising concerns about closures, and then this really strong accusation of a hidden agenda.
It's a pretty wide range of perspectives, that's for sure.
So where do you land on all this? Are you feeling more optimistic or more concerned?
It's hard to say. I mean, there are definitely some valid points on both sides.
Right. I guess we'll have to wait and see how things shake out. But let's get into some specifics. Yeah. Like, what are some of the actual policy proposals that are on the table?
Oh, there are some interesting ones. 802 Ed pointed out a few that could have a real impact on schools and families.
Like what?
Well, for one, there's this discussion about getting rid of artificial dyes in school lunches.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it seems small on the surface, but it raises these bigger questions about who gets to decide what kids eat in schools. Should it be the state or the local districts?
It's a good point. And then there's that proposal to scrap the universal free school meals program.
Oh, that's a big one. Lots of debate swirling around that.
I bet. What are people saying?
Well, those who support getting rid of it say it's a necessary cost-cutting measure.
Makes sense from a budget perspective.
But then you have folks who are really worried about how it will affect low-income families.
Yeah, I can see why that would be a major concern. It's tough, right? Trying to balance the budget with the needs of the students.
Absolutely. And then there's the sanctuary school policy, which is aimed at protecting immigrant students.
I've been hearing a lot about that one lately. It seems to be gaining momentum.
It is. It's even passed unanimously in some areas, and the state's Teacher of the Year is a big advocate for it.
What's their argument?
Basically, they're saying that kids can't learn if they're living in fear.
That's powerful.
It is. It really highlights the importance of creating a safe and welcoming environment for all students.
Couldn't agree more. Any other proposals that stand out to you?
Yeah, 802 Ed also mentioned this potential shift of power from the State Board of Education to the Agency of Education when it comes to making rules.
Hmm, that sounds like it could have some significant implications.
Yeah, it could really change the way education policy is made in Vermont.
It definitely makes you think about who's really calling the shots, but you know, Vermont's not operating a vacuum here.
Right. We've got to consider the national trends, too.
I was just thinking that. Like, what's happening in other states? Are we following their lead or are we charting our own course?
It's a good question. 802 Ed actually highlighted a few examples that I think are worth discussing.
Really? What caught your eye?
Well, there was this article in the New York Times that argues the current presidential administration is trying to undermine universities.
Whoa, what do they mean by that?
Basically, they're saying that there's this agenda driven by ideology rather than actual evidence-based policy.
That's concerning. What kind of impact is that having?
Well, it could have far-reaching consequences for higher education, not just nationally, but potentially here in Vermont as well.
I see what you mean. Anything else?
Yeah, the Hechinger Report had a piece about the potential dismantling of the Institute of Education Sciences.
I'm not familiar with that. What is it?
It's a federal agency that's responsible for education research and data collection.
Okay, so why are people concerned about it?
Because without reliable data, it becomes really difficult to make informed decisions about education policy.
Oh, that makes sense. It's like trying to navigate without a map.
Exactly. So all of these national trends are definitely things we need to keep an eye on.
You're right. We can't just focus on what's happening within our own borders. But before we go too deep down that rabbit hole, can we take a moment to celebrate some good news?
Oh, for sure. Everyone needs a little positivity.
Did you hear about the Vermont State University curling team? They actually beat Harvard.
No way. That's amazing.
Right. Who knew curling was such a big thing in Vermont? But seriously, congrats to the team. That's a huge accomplishment.
Absolutely. Go Catamounts.
And speaking of awesome Vermonters, we have to give a shout out to Allison Conyers, a school nurse from Brookside Primary School. She just won a national award.
Wow, that's incredible. What did she win it for?
For her dedication and commitment to her students. It's so inspiring to see people like her making a real difference in our schools.
It's a good reminder that even with all the challenges and debates, there are so many amazing people working in education.
You're so right. Oh, and I wanted to share this anecdote from the 802 Ed editor. Apparently, his sister is thinking about buying this fixer-upper house in California.
A fixer-upper? What's so special about it?
Well, not much, except for the location. But he is drawing this parallel to the state of education in Vermont.
Interesting. I'm curious to hear where he's going with that.
Basically, he's saying that we have a lot of potential here, just like that house with its prime location, but there are definitely some areas that need some serious work.
So, like that house, we need to invest in some renovations.
Exactly. We need to address the issues head on and make some strategic improvements.
I like that analogy. It really highlights the fact that we can't just ignore the problems. We have to actively work to fix them.
And it's a good reminder that even though we're talking about big, complex systems, ultimately it's about the people, the students, the families, and the communities.
You said it.
So yeah, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the governor's plans, the historical context, the conflicting opinions, the national trends, and even some inspiring stories along the way.
It's been a whirlwind tour of Vermont education, and it's not over yet.
You're right about that. We've got a lot more to discuss, but for now, we're going to take a quick break and come back with even more insights and analysis.
Sounds good. I'm ready for round two.
All right, stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be right back. It really makes you think, though, right? Like, what are other states doing with all this? Are they dealing with the same kinds of issues?
That's such a good point. And it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel here. Like, maybe other states have already figured some things out.
Exactly. We can learn from their successes and their mistakes.
Right. And 802 Ed actually highlighted a few examples from other states that I thought were really interesting. Like, in Virginia, they're considering requiring schools to report student overdoses.
Wow, that's intense.
I know, right? It's a pretty stark reminder of the kind of stuff that schools are dealing with these days. It's not just about reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore.
It really makes you wonder, do we have the resources here in Vermont to handle those kinds of situations? Like, what kind of support systems are in place for students who are struggling with those issues?
That's a really good question. And then there's Minnesota, where they're thinking about getting even stricter with cell phone policies in schools.
Ah, the eternal battle against the smartphone.
It's a tough one, right? Like, on the one hand, those things could be a huge distraction.
Totally. But on the other hand, technology is such a big part of our world now, it feels almost impossible to just ban it completely.
Yeah, and some people argue that smartphones and tablets can actually be really valuable learning tools.
They can be, for sure. It's all about finding that balance, right? How do we harness the power of technology without letting it take over?
That's the million-dollar question. But hey, not all the news from other states is so heavy. Like, New Hampshire's doing some pretty cool stuff with school choice funding.
Oh, yeah. What are they up to?
So basically, they're letting families use that funding for things like ski lessons and karate classes.
Whoa, that's different. I've never heard of that before.
Me neither. It's kind of a radical idea, right? Like, expanding the definition of what education can look like.
It really challenges the traditional model, doesn't it? It's like, who says education has to happen within the four walls of a classroom?
Exactly. Maybe it's time to start thinking outside the box a little bit, you know? Like, what if we could give students more flexibility and choice in how they learn?
That's a really interesting thought. It would definitely require a major shift in thinking, but it could be really exciting.
And it kind of makes you think, right? Like, what is the ultimate goal of education? Are we just trying to prepare kids for specific jobs? Or are we trying to help them become well-rounded individuals who can think critically and solve problems?
Those are big questions, and I don't think there's an easy answer. But they're definitely worth asking.
I agree. And you know what else is worth thinking about? That question from the 802 Ed Reader survey?
Oh yeah, the one about who should decide graduation requirements.
That's the one. It's a pretty fundamental question, isn't it? Like, should it be the state that sets those standards, or should it be up to individual school boards?
There are strong arguments on both sides, that's for sure.
Yeah, like, on the one hand, having statewide standards can ensure that all students are getting a certain level of education, regardless of where they live.
Right. But on the other hand, local communities might have different needs and priorities, and they should have the flexibility to adapt their curriculum accordingly.
Exactly. It's that tension between state control and local autonomy that we keep coming back to.
It's a classic dilemma, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
It's true. But it's important to have these conversations to weigh the pros and cons and figure out what's best for Vermont.
Absolutely. And it's a reminder that education is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
So true. And that's what makes this whole conversation so interesting, right? There's no easy answer, no magic bullet.
Nope, there isn't. But the fact that people are passionate about it, that they care enough to debate these issues, that gives me hope.
Me too. It means that people are invested in the future of education in Vermont. And that's a good thing. Well, I think we've really dug into this Vermont education thing today. We've talked about the governor's plan and looked at the history and heard from all sorts of people with different opinions. We've even checked in on other states and how they're handling things.
It's been a lot, right? But it's important stuff.
Absolutely. So where do we go from here? Like, what can people actually do with all this information?
Well, the first thing is don't tune out now, right? Keep reading those articles and paying attention to what's going on with education, especially in your own community.
Like they say, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to get involved. Talk to your elected officials. Go to those school board meetings. Make your voice heard.
It's true. Education shouldn't just be something that happens to us. We should all have a say in how it works.
And it's not just about complaining or criticizing, right? It's about working together to come up with solutions.
Absolutely. And even though there are a lot of challenges, there are also a lot of amazing people out there working hard to make things better.
Yeah, like that school nurse who won the award and all those dedicated teachers and community members who are fighting for our kids.
They're the real heroes in all of this.
They are. And remember that question we talked about earlier from the 802 Ed Reader survey, the one about who should set graduation requirements?
That's a big one. And there's no easy answer.
Nope. But it's a conversation we need to have.
Exactly. And I think that's a good place to wrap things up. We've explored a lot of different angles today, but ultimately, the future of education in Vermont is up to all of us.
It's in our hands. So let's keep talking, keep learning, and keep working together to create the best possible education system for our kids.